An hour west of Ford County, the land flattened dramatically, and the Delta began. It was a region rich in farming and poor in living conditions, but I was in no mood to take in the sights and offer social commentary. I was too nervous about crashing a clandestine parole hearing. I was also nervous about setting foot inside Parchman, a legendary hellhole. After 2 hours, I saw fences next to fields, then razor wire. Soon there was a sign, and I turned into the main gate. I informed a guard in the booth that I was a reporter there for a parole hearing.
"Straight ahead, left at the second building," he said helpfully as he wrote down my name.
There was a cluster of buildings close to the highway and a row of white frame houses that would fit on any maple street in Mississippi. I chose the Admin A building and sprinted inside looking for the first secretary. I found her, and she sent me to the next building, second floor. It was just about 10. There were people at the end of the hallway, loitering outside a room. One was a prison guard, one was a state trooper, one wore a wrinkled suit. "I'm here for a parole hearing," I announced.
"In there," the guard said, pointing.
Without knocking, I yanked open the door, as any intrepid reporter would, and stepped inside. Things had just been called to order, and my presence there was certainly not anticipated. There were 5 members of the parole board, and they were seated behind a slightly elevated table with their nameplates in front of them. Along one wall, another table held the Paget crowd: Danny, his father, his mother, and uncle, and Lucian Wilbanks. Opposite them, behind another table, were various clerks and functionaries of the board and the prison. Everyone stared at me as I stormed in. My eyes locked onto Danny Paget's, and for a second, both of us managed to convey the contempt we felt for the other.
"Can I help ye?"
a large, badly dressed old boy growled from the center of the board. His name was Barrett Ray Jeter, the chairman. Like the other 4, he had been appointed by the governor as a reward for vote gathering. "I'm here for the Paget hearing," I said.
"He's a reporter,"
Lucian practically yelled as he was standing. For a second, I thought I might get arrested on the spot and be carried deeper into the prison for a life sentence.
"For who?"
Jeter demanded. "The Ford County Times," I said.
"Your name?"
"Willie Traynor." I was glaring at Lucian, and he was scowling at me.
"This is a closed hearing, Mr. Traynor," Jeter said.
The statute wasn't clear as to whether it was open or closed, so it had traditionally been kept quiet. "Who has the right to attend?" I asked.
"The parole board, the parolee, his family, his witnesses, his lawyer, and any witnesses for the other side."
The other side meant the victim's family, which in this setting sounded like the bad guys. "What about the sheriff from our county?" I asked.
"He's invited too," Jeter said.
Our sheriff wasn't notified. I talked to him 3 hours ago. In fact, nobody in Ford County knew of this hearing until after 12 last night. This caused considerable head-scratching up and down the parole board. The Pagets huddled with Lucian. By process of elimination, I quickly deduced that I had to become a witness if I wanted to watch the show. I said as loudly and clearly as possible, "Well, since there's no one else here from Ford County in opposition, I'm a witness."
"You can't be a reporter and a witness," Jeter said.
"Where's that written in the Mississippi Code?" I asked, waving my copies from Harry Rex's law books. Jeter nodded at a young man in a dark suit. "I'm the attorney for the parole board," he said politely. "You can testify in this hearing, Mr. Traynor, but you cannot report it." I planned to fully report every detail of the hearing, then hide behind the First Amendment.
"So be it," I said. "You guys make the rules."
In less than 1 minute, the lines had been drawn. I was on one side, everybody else was on the other.
"Let's proceed,"
Jeter said, and I took a seat with a handful of other spectators. The attorney for the parole board passed out a report. He recited the basics of the Paget sentence, and was careful not to use the words consecutive or concurrent. Based on the inmate's exemplary record during his incarceration, he had qualified for good time, a vague concept created by the parole system and not by the state legislature. Subtracting the time the inmate spent in the county jail awaiting trial, he was now eligible for parole. Danny's caseworker plowed through a lengthy narrative of her relationship with the inmate. She concluded with the gratuitous opinion that he was fully remorseful, fully rehabilitated, no threat whatsoever to society, even ready to become a most productive citizen.